fail to remember the Master was nigh. He spoke the word, and the winds all stood still.
Amen.
Even the waters obey His will. He calmed their storms like He will mine. If I just remember that He lives inside, so why should I worry? And why should I fear when this very same Jesus stays always so near? He lives in my heart, and He hears when I cry. I'll call on His name until the storm passes by. We're reading the Bible, how He walked with them, brought light to the darkness when the way grew deep. How great it would be to have His footsteps in mine.
Amen.
And walk with the Master all of the time. And when trials come and it seems so nigh, I'll just run to the Master. I know He'll be there on time. And when sickness comes and my body's in pain, all I have to do is call on His name. Why should I worry? And why should I fear when this very same Jesus stays always so near? He lives in my heart, and He hears when I cry. I'll call on His name until the storm passes by. Why should you worry? And why should you fear when this very same Jesus stays always so near? He lives in your heart, and He hears when you call. So just call on His name until that storm passes by.
Amen.
Just forget about Him, like Israel. He was on wilderness and He just left that water. We should remember always Him. He's always there. Amen. For you and for me. Amen. Amen. Let's sing that time, that song. He's coming soon. Amen.
This the closing days of
God. Just thank you this morning. Thanking you for the blessings that you have given unto your children. Lord, oh God, how merciful you are unto us, Lord, making your word to become alive in our lives. Oh, Father, you say, try me and see if I will not open the doors, the windows of heaven. And we have seen this manifesting in our lives, Lord, bringing the tithes and the offering. Oh God, and how the heavens have opened their windows upon us, Amen. Blessing us beyond measure, blessing us beyond what we can contain, or what we ever thought, Lord. And worthy as we are, we just thank you, Father. May you bless these tithes and these offerings, Lord. Oh God, may you continue to pour your blessings upon your people. In the name of Jesus Christ, we ask it. Amen. Saints, do you mind to just take a second? We wanted to do this at the beginning of the service, but unfortunately, one thing led to another. Just a few announcements from us, the deacons. I believe if we are faithful in these small things, that the Lord will bless us with a bigger space.
Amen.
So we really try our best to make do with what we have. It's not ideal. It's not even close to what we had, but this is what we have now. So we are having to make adjustments as we go along just to see how best we can use this little space we have. And we would ask you to bear with us, and we would ask you to be faithful to these little things so that the Lord may bless us with bigger things. So I have a few things on my list here. The first one is the toilet arrangements. It's very difficult to see how we can work around the toilets. There is one toilet upstairs, so for the next few weeks or maybe a few services, we are going to have to ask the brothers to use the toilet upstairs. Now, unfortunately, the floor as well as you walk goes boom, boom, boom. So when you have to use it, we would ask also that maybe you would take notice of that the people downstairs can hear your footsteps. So we would ask by all means when the service goes into session, meaning that when the preaching goes on, if the brothers could perhaps maybe try to use the toilet upstairs, and we leave the toilets down here for the sisters, because it's very awkward for the sisters when we have to go in there and queue with them and so on. So we'll see how this arrangement works if the brothers could go upstairs during service for the toilets and leave these ones for the sisters and the children. If it doesn't work, we'll have to make other arrangements as well. The second thing that we would ask you is concerning the children. The first few services, we were quite lenient and we let the children walk around and so forth because we were trying to see how best can we use this space. Now, we would really ask each parent to take care of their children. We try our best as deacons. Sometimes our methods can be quite harsh as well, so we wouldn't want to be doing that to the children. We want them to feel happy to come here. But at the same time, there's a responsibility to keep them in order. So we ask parents, please, to keep your children with you. Please don't make them run around in front here, coming to these instruments here. I suppose we ought to keep some kind of order in the house of the Lord if we are to expect His blessings. Same goes with the cry room, that at the moment, you know, just the way it is, it's not like what we used to have, but I believe that the cry room is a cry room. When the children, sometimes they get a little bit, you know, they can't sit still for long. You can take them there. But really, for you to come to church and put your children in there and expect someone else to mind them, I think we have to change that. That if your children need a little bit of getting away from this room, by all means, take them there, be with them, supervise, and bring them back into the house of the Lord, because we want to teach them. We want them to hear what is being preached here so that they will learn from these things as well. Sitting arrangements, it's not been easy to do that for us, but we ask the sisters, everybody just to maybe keep this section here for sisters with young children, children that frequently need attention. So if the sisters, maybe if your husband can sit somewhere else with the other children that maybe don't need attention, because we don't have loads of spaces this side. So we'll try to reserve it for sisters with the young children. The children that don't need attention, they can sit with their fathers on this other side of the church, and we see how that works. If it doesn't, we'll try to change again. Another thing that has been on our hearts for a long time is timekeeping. Now, we're really thankful to the Lord that He gave us a space here which is so close to the motorway. I know it's a little bit inconvenient for the people from the city, but they are coming very early these days. They have longer to travel and traffic lights and so the sort like that. But us from Balbriggan, Blanchester, no traffic lights, motorway all the way. We really ask the saints to make it on time. It makes it easy for us to do the sitting arrangements. When you come on time, you also get parking easy. And children get to go into Sunday school because they are being taught some very wonderful things in there. And many of us are what we are today, or we owe it to some Sunday school teacher somewhere. So please, saints, we can never ever emphasize how important it is for the children to come to Sunday school. It's really unfair for those that come to Sunday school because the children mix afterwards. And if yours are not attending Sunday school, they're not on the same wavelength. I know you are doing your best teaching your children at home, but let's also try to catch them here while they are young. So please do bring your children to Sunday school. And also there's an adult Sunday school that goes on in here. It's very inconvenient when Brother Maxwell is laboring as much as he can. Then people are coming during that time. We have to look for sitting places for them. So if we can, by all means, try to be here on time. So that when Sunday school goes on in here and up there, everybody is seated and they have time to just separate themselves. A quiet time. I'm sure the prophet speaks about it. But it is very important for you to make it up. For me, Sunday is the most important day. I would rather be late at work, late for my hospital appointment, everything else, but my wife will bear me witness. I cannot be late on a Sunday. I try all I can to be here. If I have to bat the children myself, I'll do it just so I can be here on time. This is for the Lord. This means more to me than anything else. So we really want to urge you to come on time. And we are going to be very strict on that going forward. Also, just to ask the sisters, after church, we haven't been able to make a duty roster yet. And we don't know whether it's going to be very convenient for us to do that. So I would ask maybe after church, a couple of sisters or three sisters, if they can tidy up the place just in preparation for the next service and going forward like that. So all this really is to do with the church order. We have to respect church order no matter what spaces we have, how inconvenient it can be. We really ask the saints, as soon as we finish service, we can greet one another in here, God bless you, God bless you, God bless you. But we would ask that we go outside and not let the children run in here after service. It just disturbs the spirit for the next service. So we want to look at that after service. Myself and Brother David, we will really try to be very strict with that. As soon as service is finished, we go outside, we can talk outside. But let's try to keep the atmosphere in here as best as we can. So thank you very much for your time. May the Lord bless you.
Keep me burning till I'm ready.
Singing for His glory. Amen. Let's sing with your strength. Amen. In priestless chains, with bleeding stripes, Paul and Silas pray at night, and in their pain began.
So if you
find God in your life, you're in the midst of times so hard. Reach out by faith, defy the storm, and you will find you're not alone.
That a person can get to.
Amen.
When you're really worshiping, because the whole duty of man is to worship God.
Amen.
You know, if we achieve everything else in this life and we fail on that, we fail on the most important
Amen.
Thing, which is to worship Him. And worship, as the prophet said, isn't just on a Sunday.
Amen.
Worship is when you give yourself
Amen.
To Him.
Amen.
When you lay yourself on the altar and you say, Lord, have the preeminence.
Amen.
And you worship Him at work.
Hallelujah.
And you worship Him at home.
Amen.
And you worship Him wherever you are.
Amen.
Because he's seeking such.
Amen.
Because he thirsts for such worship.
Amen.
Let's pray for Brother George. Today is at work. Brother Mike and his family are unable to come and asking for prayer. And we also want to greet Daniel, Brother Oral's friend. God bless you.
Amen.
Welcome to our house of worship. We met him outside, so may the Lord bless him. Let's open our Bibles before we pray. Let's open Zechariah chapter 10. We read the same scripture on Wednesday. We've been looking at these things that are to be. What should be hereafter. And we got on to the ministry of the bride.
Amen.
Which led us on Wednesday to the latter rain.
Amen.
Because it's the same thing.
Amen.
So we're looking today at the former and the latter rain once again. Just to get our thought from there. The prophet unveiled wonderful things in our age.
Amen.
Zechariah 10 verse 1. Let's read the scripture read on Wednesday. This is the Lord instructing us what to ask of. Asking in the correct season. Ask ye of the Lord rain in the time of latter rain.
Amen.
So the Lord shall make bright clouds
Amen.
And give them showers of rain Amen. To everyone grass in the field.
Amen.
So we should be doing that. Asking of the Lord for rain in the time of the latter rain.
Amen.
Because you know the Bible says if you ask Him anything that He'll give it to us if we pray according to
Amen.
His will.
Amen.
And when He reveals His will to us, when we pray according to His will, He's going to hear
Amen.
Your prayer.
Amen.
Because you're praying according to His will. Let's also read Deuteronomy chapter 11, verse 14, which is speaking to us of the rain coming in due season. That God has His seasons and a purpose for those seasons. Deuteronomy 11, 14. It says that I will give you the rain of your land in His due season.
Amen.
So if we are the prophet says, we are the field of the Lord.
Amen.
The church is His field. He's promised to give us the rain in His season.
Amen.
So when the rain is required, you take it in your own personal life.
Amen.
Now you get to a stage in your field that your field is parched, or it's dry, or it's burning. You know, you've been through trial or tribulation. He sends His rain in due season.
Amen.
There comes His rain. There comes a quickening. There comes a refreshing. There comes a reviving in His season. Because He's faithful the way He deals with His field. that I will give you the rain of your land in his due season, the first rain and the latter rain, that thou mayest gather in thy corn. So the whole purpose of this is there's got to be a rain at seed time, and then there's got to be a rain at harvest time. For the purpose of bringing in the harvest. That's the whole purpose of all of these things. So if the Lord just sent them the early rain for the sowing of the field and didn't bring the latter rain, it wasn't going to achieve his purpose. But once he sends the rain at seed time, in order to achieve his divine purpose, it's going to be rain at harvest time.
Amen. As well.
The first and the latter rain, that thou mayest gather in thy corn, and thy wine and thy oil.
Amen.
That's the purpose. Let's bow heads, Father. First, we want to just bless your name upon this day. To thank you that you give us chance once again to meet and to gather in your house under your divine purpose. Father, Lord, we'd be the people most miserable to gather upon this day under the auspices of man. Father, we come here in no man's name save the name of the man Christ Jesus. Father, we've gathered under no human program. We have no headquarters except for you. You are our headquarters. Father, we have no agenda upon this day. We just want your agenda to be fulfilled. Lord, we have no purpose of our own. We just want that your purpose be established in our midst. And Father, you've given us the rain for this purpose. So rain down again upon this day. Father, there shall be showers of blessing, seasons of refreshing sent forth from the hand of the Lord. Father, we thank you for such. Bless your word unto us. And Father, our brethren that can't be with us upon this day. Brother George is at work. Pray that you'd be with him. Brother Mike, his family, pray that you'd minister grace unto them upon this day. And each and every one of us that have gathered in this place, Father, that your will be done. Be glorified, we ask. Bless your word and bless the service. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
You may be seated, saints. God bless you this morning. As we gather in his name, we're looking at the former and the latter rain. I'll just read what I read a little bit on Wednesday, just to give a bit of a background to people who don't understand the former and the latter rain. It says, in the east, the former rain falls at the sowing time. It is necessary in order that the seed may germinate. So you find this rain in Israel in the east, or right through the winter time, but you have your former rain, which is now, which is September, October. It's the time when they wanted to plow up the fields, you know, plow up the barren lands and the fallow lands. So it's time for plowing. So you've got to have something that helps you to plow. You've got to have something that comes to soften the soil so you can prepare the ground for the seed when it's sown. And then you need, once you sow your seed, you need moisture there. You need showers to come upon the seed to start the process. You need something to cause the seed to germinate. You don't just want to sow your seed on barren ground. The seed is going to sit there. Nothing's going to take place.
Amen.
So the former rain, the early rain, is necessary to germinate the seed. And we looked at it on Wednesday night, to the personal life, is that no person can start as a Christian without the supernatural.
Amen.
There's no such thing as a natural believer. Christianity is supernatural from the beginning to the end.
Amen.
That in order for the seed to be able to germinate in you, that seed which is planted in you, and in order for the seed of his word to have an effect in your life, to bring forth of its own kind, there's got to be an atmosphere.
Amen.
There's got to be a spiritual atmosphere. There's got to be something supernatural, because God's word is supernatural.
Amen.
So for his word to bring forth, it's got to take a certain kind of an environment. The prophet says it's the atmosphere that brings the results. And that's why you find God visits a believer, especially in the days of your youth, in a special way. And that's it. There's a reason for that. Now, he wants to start things off properly. And if there's no supernatural in your experience when you just start off, if all that you're doing is learning, and you know quotes, and you know scriptures, you're never going to come to the harvest.
Amen.
Because if there's not the early rain, if there's not the former rain when the seed is sown, when it's time now for the germination of the seed inside of you, I mean, what good is the latter rain going to do? If you take the seed and you sow it now in Palestine, and there's no former rain, that seed maybe it'll grow a little bit, it'll be weak. If there's no showers to keep it going during the winter months, by the time you come to the harvest rain, there's nothing to harvest.
Amen.
There's never going to come to a harvest. So there's got to be something that starts the work, something that comes in power. So you find the former rain, it's like they said, it's copious rains. It's plentiful rains. It's not just the normal showers that come for the rest of the season. But it has to start off with a deluge.
Amen.
Something which is beyond the ordinary. And that's how it is in the life of a believer.
Amen.
You want your Christian life to start off something outside of the ordinary.
Amen.
You know, you want to have some sort of a season that you can look back and say, from that time,
amen,
you know, I met him, I know that he's real, he changed my life. I've never been the same since then. You don't want to have to struggle yourself to overcome the world. Jesus has already overcome the world. He says, this is the victory, even your faith, because he's overcome the world. You want there to be a quickening that comes to overcome the world for you. I don't want to struggle trying to overcome cigarettes. I don't want to struggle trying to overcome lust and those things myself. I can't overcome those things because you wrestle not with flesh and blood. There's got to be a quickening power. There's got to be something. It takes one spirit to overcome another spirit. There's got to be an anointing to break the yoke, the Bible says. And that's why in the beginning of the process, there's got to be a visitation.
Amen.
He comes in his due season to rain upon you in the time of your former rain. And that's why the message becomes so powerful to you at the beginning.
Amen.
Now you look at the message, you find that all believers that are really visited by God, they have such a zeal to take the message. They say, but why doesn't everybody believe this message?
Amen.
And you'll take the message to all your friends and they're not interested in it.
Yeah.
You take it to your neighbors, you tell it to the people at work. Why? They're not having a former rain.
Amen.
It's you that's having the former rain.
Amen.
It's you that has the divine reality, the quickening power that's coming upon the seed. It hasn't yet come to them. So that's why you find in your experience, it'll be so real in the time of your former rain.
Amen.
But that's just to start the process. That doesn't mean the process is over. And that's why we looked on Wednesday when the prophet says, and hear ye him. In those messages, that's where the Pentecostals got it wrong. They believed when they received the Holy Ghost. That was all that they needed. That's not all that. That just starts the work.
Amen.
The baptism of the Holy Ghost just starts his work inside of your life. But you haven't come to perfection yet.
Amen.
You haven't come to golden brown. You haven't come in your experience, in your faith, in your character, in your maturity to the place that you're ready for his garner. You're not yet ready for the sickle, but he's already started the work. And that's why the former rain comes to germinate the seed. Under the influencing of these fertilizing showers, the tender shoot springs up.
Amen.
So this is God's planting.
Amen.
And this is the beginning of his work inside of your life. And everybody will see that God is doing something.
Amen.
Anybody who is spiritual will discern that God has visited this brother,
Amen,
or God has visited this sister, because something supernatural takes place. But it's not yet the end product. But potentially it's there.
Amen.
Because the process has begun. And if you just take it through its natural course, it's going to end up in a harvest. It's going to end up every single time in a harvest time. It has to. So, many people, it just says, I like this when they put in this Bible dictionary, many have, in a great measure, failed to receive the former rain. You find many believers, they never took advantage of their day of visitation.
Amen.
Now you find a believer, God already drew near to them, God will call them, God will be wanting to establish his purpose in their life.
Amen.
But you've got to use that season when it comes.
Amen.
If you're the farmer and you know it's the season for the former rain, you've got to get out there in that field.
Amen.
You've got to get at that plow and you've got to start plowing up those clods and removing those rocks and uprooting those weeds and so forth, and take advantage of the season that God has given to you. Then you take the seed of the word and you sow the seed into the field. When the atmosphere is there, friends, I don't understand believers who haven't read the Seven Church Age book. Some believers have never read the Seven Church Age book. And I ask myself, how do they expect to be at the harvest, a latter rain, if they haven't sowed in the time of the former rain?
Amen.
This is the seed that needs to be sown. So many believers have never read the seven seals, which is the climax of the former rain. This is the seed time to us. This is when the divine visitation came to bring forth the teaching rain, to bring forth the seed, to be sown, to bring forth the harvest of the bride. That, friends, we're so busy in Facebook and we're so busy in all these other things in life that the most important thing that we should be sowing in our experience,
Amen,
gathers dust upon the shelf.
Yes.
It should never be like that, friends.
Amen.
When he draws near to you, take advantage of that atmosphere and sow the seed.
Amen.
Prayerfully meditate upon His word. Study to show thyself approved. You've got to get the seed in while the atmosphere is right. Take advantage of the seasons of visitation. And that's why you find believers get overcome. And they go and they start worshipping other gods and they start getting caught up in all these cults and factions and stuff. They never took time to sow the seed during the time of the former rain. Because once that seed's been sown, friends, you know His voice. You know that this is error. You won't quickly get caught up in some of these things that people get caught up in. But instead of being so busy, and sometimes, friends, we listen to too many other people and not the prophet. I really do believe in your formative years as a believer, spend as much time as you can listening just to the prophet himself. Read the prophet's message. Listen to the words of the prophet. Don't listen to all the other ministers and once in a while you listen to the prophet. This is the chief sower here. This is the one that was ordained to sow the seed, to bring things to the latter rain, to the harvest time. This is the original seed. This is the restoration once again. And the fivefold ministry has its job. But as a young believer, you study the message. Otherwise, how will you know what's right and what's wrong? If I come here today and I say something contrary to the message, you won't know if you don't know the message. If you haven't studied it yourself, if you haven't dug deep into the message, during the time of your former end, you become vulnerable. You're not in the stage of growth. You're not in the situation that you should be. Sow the seed when He's near. Take that seed when there's an atmosphere to bring conception in your experience. Use every visitation that He gives to you. Redeem that time. Let it be a fruitful time. Let it be something that you're sowing into your experience. And friends, will never regret it. It'll do something for you. But just as I said, yeah, that the farmer, if he doesn't plant his seed properly in the time of the former rain, you can't expect the latter rain to correct that error. You can't say, I'm waiting now for the harvest rain, and when the harvest rain comes, I'm going to set my things right with God. That doesn't work like that. You're not waiting for the Lord to come now in the fullness now of the third pool and say, when that comes, I'm going to get my rapturing faith. When that comes, I'm going to find the purpose of God. It's too late. If you haven't sowed your field properly and looked after your field during the whole process of growth, by the time the latter rain comes, there's nothing to quicken. There's nothing to harvest in your field. It's a process that you've got to go through. The former rain starts the process. But all through the season of agriculture, there comes continual showers. And we want a shower here today once again. And every time the shower comes, it rains upon that crop, whatever it is, the wheat, the corn. And every time it rains, it progresses a little further. It grows, it gets a little bit stronger. That pushes a little bit more towards its maturity. That's why, friends, the Christian life has to be a life of progress. The moment you stop making progress, you need to go back to the altar to say, Lord, there's something worrying about this. You can't just wait for the time of latter rain and say, that's going to fix all of my problems. It's not. You've got to overcome your problems now. You've got to keep growing and pushing. And the problem is just drinking in and pushing out. There's got to be progress. There's got to be development. If you look at your experience now and you know better than you were 2 years ago, I'd start to be worried. Because if the farmer comes in his field this month and he comes back next month and that crop hasn't moved from where it was, there's something wrong. There's something wrong. He's going to fear now that he's not going to have a crop that's prepared for the sickle for the harvest time. And friends, if we want to be the wheat on his table, the bread on his table, we've got to be progressing in his kingdom. We've got to be moving. As he visits us, take advantage of that visitation. Push out a little bit more. As he visits you at home, quicken yourself in prayer. Quicken yourself. Feed yourself upon the word. But keep on making progress. Don't ever stand still as a believer. You become a sitting duck for the enemy. Just keep progressing. Keep moving on. That's the way that he did it in the Bible days, in the natural. That's how he wants to do it in the spiritual as well. It's making a big mistake. We've got to continually be growing. There's got to be something taking place. So if you want to get a harvest, there's got to be a seed time. You can't have a harvest without a seed time. You can never ever bring forth something unless you've sown that seed. And that seed has to be sowed in the right atmosphere, the right conditions. And that's why if you find your best time of the day, your best time of the week, redeem the time.
Amen.
Redeem the time. Become a student of Malachi 4.
Amen.
That's what the believers used to always say when we were young. Be a student of Malachi 4.
Amen.
Know what you believe.
Amen.
And know why you believe what you
Amen.
Believe. Don't take somebody else's word for it. Everybody will let you down.
Amen.
Everybody will fail. But God has sent something that He greatly vindicated already.
Amen.
He's already given us the seed to sow in our experience. And that was brought during the former rain. That great revival of the former rain, the seed time before us. Because the rain itself doesn't determine what your harvest is.
Amen.
It may rain and rain and rain on your field, but if you haven't sown the right seed, you're not going to get the right harvest.
Amen.
It's the seed that determines your harvest, not the rain.
Amen.
That's why you can have 25 revivals and still not bring forth the right crop.
Amen.
Unless you've sown the right seed.
Amen.
And that's where the prophet says, he says it in the resume of the churches, Church Age Book, page 377. He says, this age started just after the turn of the 20th century. As it was to be the age in which the true church would return to being the bride she was at Pentecost, we know there must of necessity be a return of dynamic power.
Amen.
So God's desire in this age is the bride returns to what she was in Pentecost.
Amen.
You know, there's got to be the Alpha bride, there's got to be the Omega bride as well. So God used the same process, the former and the latter rain, to bring the bride, to bring this restoration once again. That's what He's going to show us. And God hasn't changed His system. The way He deals with you as an individual is the same way He deals with the church. Luther had justification, you as an individual have justification. Wesley had sanctification, you have sanctification. The Pentecostals at Azusa Street, restoration of the gift. You have the restoration of the gift. Then it comes to perfection.
Amen.
The bride comes to perfection. So we're moving on from
Amen.
There. But the way He deals with His church is the same way He deals
Amen.
With an individual.
Amen.
So if there's a former and a latter rain for the church, there's got to be for the individual as well.
Amen.
You've got to have a seed time. You've got to have a maturity, a harvest time, where He reaps the fruits from your experience.
Amen.
That He's been sowing into your experience. Right
Amen.
Through that season, there's got to be a harvest time as well. So the prophet says, the believers at Azusa Street sensed this in their spirits.
Amen.
They knew that it was the season for rain.
Amen.
They knew that.
Amen.
It was that season. And they began crying to God for a new outpouring such as it was
Amen.
In the first century. What seemed to be the answer came as many began to speak in tongues
Amen.
And manifest the gifts of the Spirit. It was then believed that this indeed was the long-awaited restoration.
Amen.
So the Azusa Street, when the Holy Ghost came down, it was powerful. The atmosphere was powerful.
Amen.
The anointing was powerful. The revival was powerful. But it wasn't restoration.
Mm-hmm.
Why not? Because the seed hadn't been sown. They didn't have the original seed.
Amen.
Friends, that's the most deceiving thing. The anointing can be the most deceiving thing.
Amen.
Because you'll go somewhere, there'll be a great anointing, but the man's sowing the seed of discrepancy.
Yeah.
And you'll say, that was a wonderful yeah. meeting, so anointed. Yeah. And somebody sowed discrepancy into it.
Amen.
It's not just the rain, it's the seed and the rain.
Amen.
What seed is being sown in the when the rain's coming down?
Yeah.
Our friends, we've seen it in the message, right the way from the beginning.
Amen.
Great revivals, great moves. Every time the people say, this is the final quickening to the rapture.
Mm.
And where you know what's wrong, is I tell you, you've got to listen to us.
Amen.
If you don't listen to us, you're the foolish virgin.
Mm.
You've missed the revival and so forth.
Mm.
We've seen it so many times, but there'll be such an atmosphere.
Amen.
There'll be rain falling, definitely. But it's not only the rain that matters.
Right.
It's what seed is being
Amen.
Sown.
Amen.
That's going to determine the harvest.
Amen.
And if you don't know the message, you'll go and sit there and say, oh, this is so powerful. And then you'll end up burning your spoken words
Amen.
And burning the Bible in there. You've got to be careful, friends.
Amen.
It's the seed of discrepancy.
Amen.
Didn't the Lord teach us that? He says, just when the Son of Man went and sowed
yes,
the seed in his
yes,
field,
right.
the enemy came straight behind him,
Amen.
Sowing the tares.
Amen.
Sowing the seed of
Amen.
Discrepancy directly behind it. But it's the same rain.
Amen.
And the same rain that causes the wheat to rejoice is the same rain that causes the weeds to rejoice.
Amen.
But it depends on what seed.
Amen.
Has been sown in the field. Amen. That's why we've got to be so careful of the Amen. Seed that we sow in the field. Because that's going to determine the harvest. Amen. We get nothing else.
Amen.
That's what it is. And the Pentecost and Azusa Street, they believed and thought this great anointing that came, powerful anointing, they thought this is it now. We're back to what it was in the beginning. Mm. But it wasn't. Because they were baptizing in the name of Father, Son, and Holy Ghost.
Mm-hmm.
It didn't have the original seed back yet.
That's right.
So God, in order to restore His church, He needed to take His church through the whole process again.
Amen.
The seed time, and then the harvest time.
Amen.
The former rain had to come again, and the latter rain. And everybody just looked at the great manifestation, which was powerful and wonderful at Azusa Street, but it wasn't sufficient. And the prophet says that. He says, it was then believed. This was indeed the long-awaited restoration. It was not. Because the latter rain can only come after the former rain.
Amen.
Which is the spring or the teaching rain.
Amen.
You see, in God's economy, He never breaks His pattern.
Amen.
So when they had that great anointing, if you go and read about the Welsh revival was powerful, but there was no teaching rain.
Amen.
And that's why the next generation got totally overtaken by Marxism in Wales. Completely taken, because there was no sowing of the seed when the anointing was there. It was all praise and worship and testimony meetings, which was wonderful, but there was no seed sown into the field. Therefore, the harvest they reaped now, the next generation went into atheism completely in Wales. Go to Wales now and see how many Christians you can find. But that's not how God wants to do it in His bride. That's why He's going to send us a seed time first.
Amen.
He's going to send us a seed time, and then He's going to send us a latter rain, and that's going to be the full cycle that takes us back to being the original bride that He wanted in His image. That's the way that He always works.
Amen.
So the prophet says that. He says, the latter rain then is the harvest rain.
Amen.
How could this be the real thing, Azusa Street, when the teaching rain hadn't yet come? The prophet messenger, who was to be sent to teach the people, to turn the hearts back to the Pentecostal fathers, had not yet come. Thus what was thought to be the restoration and the final quickening unto the rapture had not come. But that is why anointed ones at the end time is so important.
Amen.
That was the most powerful revelation, because,
Amen.
Friends, Pentecost is powerful. I was in Pentecost.
Amen.
Those meetings can be so powerful. That anointing can be so strong.
Mm.
And then they have a woman minister come and preach. It's true.
Amen.
And then they have a Catholic priest coming and sitting on the pulpit, like in the, on the platform as in the days of the prophet. And they're joining up now with Rome once again.
Mm.
So the anointing itself is not enough to judge anything.
Amen.
It can be the most deceptive thing. Because
yes.
Like Brother Max was saying, Balaam was an anointed man.
Amen.
He was just as anointed as Moses was anointed.
Amen.
But look at the seed he was sowing under that anointing.
Amen.
And people be so anointed, they can raise the dead, they can do all that. Then they come and tell you, you don't need your prophet anymore.
Amen.
We've moved beyond the prophet now. The prophet was the seventh candlestick, we now the Shekinah glory. Be careful of such things as that. That's not what the original seed said.
Amen.
That's not what Elijah said, friends. No matter how anointed they are, be careful. The prophet says, don't discern the anointing on the man, discern the spirit in the man. What is his motive? What is his objective? What is he trying to achieve with that anointing? Is he trying to make a big group, the prophet says, that his group is better than all the rest of the people? The prophet says, I would have discernment of spirit enough to know that's not right. Though the man's anointed and gifted, but what is he sowing? Balaam saw discrepancy.
Amen.
He said, let's all join together, Baal Peor. But he was just as anointed as Moses. He knew how to approach the Lord. He could see visions. His words are recorded in scripture, chapters of numbers, of the words of Balaam. Prophecy through Balaam. That's why we had to have the teaching rain first. Otherwise, we'd be very vulnerable. Just like the word. So the prophet says, just to prove it, he says, then, to prove that it was not the real at Azusa Street. These people, even before the second generation appeared, organized and wrote their unscriptural doctrines and built their own fences as every other group ahead of them did. And friends, we had the same in the message.
Amen.
The Thunder Brothers, they had it, everyone had to follow them. And then they made their group, their organization, put their fences. showing that it wasn't the original seed.
Amen.
Because the original seed doesn't denominate.
Amen.
The original seed doesn't build fences and boundaries and say,
Amen.
That's not my brother and I'm the main man. And that's not the original seed.
Amen.
No matter how anointed the man may be, that's not the original seed.
Amen.
And we've seen the cycle go through the bride how many times in the last generation. Until now we're having people burning Bibles and so forth because they know better than Brother Branham. Friends, it's a seed of disobedience.
Amen.
That's what it is. It's not
Amen.
What Elijah said. Amen. You just say what Elijah
Amen.
Said.
Amen.
That's what they're singing in the Trinidad song. You just say what Elijah
Amen.
Has already said.
Amen.
Because this is the seed which is going to bring the harvest. God doesn't want any other seed in this generation.
Amen.
The seed to bring forth the bride has already been
Amen.
Sowed. It's the message of
Amen.
The hour.
Amen.
He was the chief sower. He was the one who was commissioned to store up the food.
Amen.
We don't want anybody else
Amen.
To store up the food. I don't want anybody else to store
Amen.
The food.
Amen.
Anybody else who wants to store, they can do that. But I haven't yet finished,
Amen.
Like we say, this food yet.
Amen.
We haven't yet redeemed the time well enough to get into the full depth of what was really being said in
Amen.
These messages yet. They're the most powerful and profound things, the message of the hour. So we need to be careful at seed time. What seed is getting into the field? Because that's going to determine. And that's why, like I say, as young believers especially, focus on the message itself.
Amen.
Don't focus on what other people say about the message. Focus as much as you can on the message.
Amen.
We used to get up every morning and listen to a message.
Amen.
We used to go to bed listening to the prophet.
Hallelujah.
Brother Lonnie Jenkins, he always recommended, he said for the first 10 years, I don't know, that was his thing, he said, don't listen to anybody else except for the prophet.
Amen.
And that was wise. That's what we did. We didn't listen to a lot of other
Amen.
People.
Amen.
We wanted to know ourselves. That's the foundation
Amen.
That he's going to build upon is the message
Amen.
Of the hour.
Amen.
So, that's why the prophet says the former rain hadn't yet come. That's why Azusa Street was powerful, but it wasn't the restoration.
Right.
Because the restoration is in two parts. It's in a former rain and then there'll be a latter rain.
Amen.
There's got to be the sowing and then there's got to be the reaping. That's the process of restoration. Now, in the message, spoken word is original seed. The prophet then comes to explain to us about the age we're living in.
Amen.
You know, if you go and study it, nobody else except for the prophet understood what the great revival was all about, the healing revival. No one understood what it was about. But the prophet came and he says, page 39, he says, why then have the revival fires lit up? 1962. Everyone was saying now that from 1948, 47, 46 the prophet gets commissioned, 47 he goes out, there comes a great time of spiritual blessing. Throughout the world, if you listen to people that were there at that time,
mm-hmm.
it's hard for us to understand it because we haven't seen a worldwide revival.
Amen. That's right.
But they say the atmosphere was just drenched Amen. With the anointing of the Holy Spirit. Anywhere you'd go, just a small town, put up a tent, thousands of people would come.
Mm-hmm.
There were such things taking place, such a manifestation. God came with a certain rain.
Amen.
God came with a certain revival.
Mm-hmm.
God came in a way which was beyond what had been before.
Mm.
And that was now when the prophet was commissioned to step into that atmosphere.
Hallelujah.
And there were people now that were listening under that atmosphere. And then by the time it got to 57, when the revival started, 58, when it finished, 58, 59, people were feeling, but something's different now.
Amen.
It's not as easy to pray anymore. It's not as easy to pray all night the way that we used to. People are not responding to the word
Amen.
The way they used to. The meetings aren't with the same enthusiasm the way they used to be. And people were writing to the prophet and saying, brother, what does this mean? So he came now and spoke and what to explain. And he says, why then has the revival fires lit up? He says, now I've got to call names. I've got to say things that I don't want to say. But in order to make this clear, you can see now where I'm getting to. The reason that I've done what I've done. I believe that he picks up his Bible and says, this is the word.
Amen.
Yeah? And I believe that Christ has a church.
Amen.
And the church is the field.
Amen.
And you've got to get the word in the field before the Spirit can ever do it.
Amen.
Amen.
So there had to be a bringing the word back into the field. But in the time of the seed time, there's got to be heavy rain. Otherwise, sowing that seed into the field, it's not going to bring forth anything. And that's why that revival started. Everybody thought it was this, that, and the other. But the prophet knew, this is the former rain. This is the teaching rain. This produces an atmosphere that we can sow a seed and it's going to germinate. He knew that. He says, now we're going to get into some real deep teaching. So the prophet said. Then he says on page 40, he says, remember, the Bible said, Genesis 1, every seed will bring forth after some kind.
Amen.
So friends, if we sow the seed of discrepancy, we're going to harvest the seed of discrepancy.
Amen.
And every faction in the message breaks into other factions.
Amen.
Because that's the seed that they sowed. And every seed you sow is going to bring forth of its own kind. Doesn't matter what the, it's not the anointing that's going to determine your harvest.
Amen.
It's the seed that's going to determine
Amen.
Your harvest. And the prophet says the deception is, when the revival's going on, you won't know the difference.
Mm-hmm.
But he said, let those revival fires start to dim down. And then you see the crop that starts to germinate.
Amen.
That's right.
Then you'll know what was sown in that revival.
Mm-hmm.
But all revivals seem the same until you start to see the seed that was sown.
Right.
Then you'll find arrogant believers, argumentative believers, stubborn people coming from a revival.
Amen.
Friends. That's the seed that was sown.
That's
a seed. You find contentious believers.
Mm-hmm.
It's because the people who sowed the seed in the rabble were contentious people.
Amen.
Sowing contention into the experience of people.
Amen.
Pride and arrogance and so forth.
Amen.
The prophet says, arrogant spirits are not of God.
Amen.
It's not from God. That's a seed that was sown. Wasn't the right seed, friends.
Amen.
It wasn't the right seed that was sown. Because every seed brings forth of its own kind. The prophet says, and I believe it's near the harvest time.
Mm.
Oh, friends, imagine us.
Amen.
We're living right at the harvest time.
Amen.
God has been so good to us.
Amen.
And we're going to see the fullness of the harvest.
Amen.
He allowed us to be born
Amen.
Just as the latter rain comes
Amen.
In.
Amen.
We're going to see the fullness of Amen. The latter rain, friends.
Amen.
We've already seen a measure. But our friends, that's why the prophet said, why'd you choose any day to be born in? I would have chosen this day.
Amen.
This day, harvest time.
Amen.
He says, I believe it's near harvest time and the seeds have been planted. That's what's the matter with it, the revival. The seeds have been planted.
Amen.
Once you plant the seeds, you don't need the former rain anymore. You don't need the heavy rains anymore. It'll destroy the crop.
Amen.
Therefore, the heavy rain, the anointing, the revival lifts off. And you just get into the normal cycle of showers, until harvest time.
Amen.
So the prophets say, now we're between the two revivals now.
Amen.
Between the former rain and the latter
Amen.
Rain. And then he types it with Jesus in the boat, and he says they came from the great healing revival, praying for the sick and the raising of the dead. They got in the boat, him and his disciples. Then the storms came.
Amen.
The trouble came. Then the next revival came,
Amen.
Which was speak to the storm.
Amen.
It wasn't a healing revival anymore.
Amen.
It was a different kind
Amen.
Of revival that
Amen.
Came. But the prophet says, maybe Jesus now
Amen.
Is just sleeping between the revivals.
Amen.
Maybe he's just waiting for us to wake him
Amen.
Up once again.
Amen.
And it took the trouble, the storm
Amen.
Came on the sea. And the disciples feared for themselves. Then they said, Master, don't you care that we perish?
Amen.
Then he rose up
Amen.
And spoke.
Amen.
That's what it's coming to. That's coming to the harvest time. So the seeds have been planted. He says, oh God. Now listen to the prophet. He says, that's what's the matter. The seeds have been planted. Oh God. I wish you could just see what passed before me then.
Yeah.
He broke right into the channel of the Spirit.
Yes.
While he was there, he starts seeing visions.
Amen.
And he knows that he's broken right into the mind of God. Now friends, this message is a powerful one.
Amen.
This one that he preached here. He says, now, remember, there's a planting time, then a harvest time.
Amen.
Now there's been three different kinds of seed planted during the revival.
Amen.
During that great revival. A denominational
Amen.
Billy Graham. He was the head planter.
Mm-hmm.
Oral Roberts for the Pentecostals. Pentecostal seed has been sown.
Mm-hmm.
Then after Oral Roberts came Copeland and Hagen.
Amen.
They were his disciples. That was word faith.
Yeah.
Name it and claim it. Prosperity, the prosperity gospel. That's not the original seed, friends.
Yeah.
But that's what was sown.
Yeah.
So look at the harvest we covered. All this televangelism, all of this scandal, all of these women televangelists, Kay Arthur, and all of these ones. Friends, it's all because of the seed that was sown.
Amen.
By their head planter, Oral Roberts.
Amen.
When the sowing time came, the seed time, he was sowing Pentecostal seed. And Billy Graham went and sowed denominational seed. That's how when you see the denominations now, ordaining homosexuals, ordaining women, all these kind of things. That was the seed that was sown, friends.
Amen.
Going back to Rome. That was the seed that was sown.
Amen.
So there's three kinds of seed. There was the Pentecostal seed, denominational seed, and then the word has been planted.
Amen.
Friends, the word
Hallelujah.
Has been planted.
Amen.
The word has been planted.
Amen.
In the field. But has it been planted in your experience?
Amen.
It doesn't do much good for the word just to be planted. Like somebody says, the other day I listened to a message, some brother was saying, he says, God sent the word to be made flesh in you.
Amen.
Not just to be put on your shelf in your library. The word's supposed to be in you, not in your library.
That's
you don't want the word in your library, you want the word in you.
Amen.
That's the only way you're going to come to the harvest time is if the word is in you.
Amen.
And that's how when it draws near and the atmosphere is right. Redeem the time.
Amen.
Sow the seed. Make sure you keep sowing the seed into experience. That's the reason he says the planting is about over. The seed must be planted before the rain falls. He says now, we're sharing so much, organizations talking about we're in the latter rain. He says, nonsense. No such a thing. Then he says, oh, something's happening.
Amen.
I can just see it passing
Amen.
Before me. I've done caught the spirit, see. I know this is the truth.
Amen.
It's thus said.
Amen.
Amen.
That's the kind of message I like.
Amen.
When there's a man, he doesn't just speak himself, but when he's speaking, God comes down and says, you've hit exactly
Amen.
The right channel here.
Amen.
And God opens the channel right to him and he comes and says, this isn't just me saying this, this is thus saith the Lord.
Amen.
This is thus saith the Lord. I know it's the truth. My vision, see, it's just moving and coming. He says, the seed plant must have seed water before it grows.
Amen.
So he's explaining that what he's just been through. That must have water to fall before the seed that's planted can grow. Now you say, Brother Branham, there has been water. He says, I'm catching your thoughts now, you see. You can't hide it. Be careful what you think.
Amen.
Amen.
And people come and say, we don't need the prophet, let's burn the books. Now I'd rather burn his books.
Amen.
I'd rather burn those kind of things, friends. It doesn't make any sense. What a message with such a vindication. He says, now you'll say, Brother Ram, he says, I'm going to express your thoughts there. You think we've had the water. That's great. You have had the water. When you plant cabbage or anything, you pour a little bit on it to start it growing. But now wait. What did we have in that planting time? The former rain. He says, take the word former, mureth. In the Hebrew, it means the teaching rain.
Amen.
The teaching rain has gone forth. Teaching rain. Billy Graham struck the world. Pentecostal struck the world. And the word has struck the world. Now, what's the matter now? She's now waiting for the latter rain.
Amen.
That's when she produces her fruits.
Amen.
Our friends.
Amen.
When the latter rain comes, it's not only going to cause us to bring the fullness of the fruits. It causes everybody to
Amen.
Bring
Amen.
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 So if we're the right seed, we manifest the sons
Amen.
Of God.
Amen.
But if you're not the right seed, you're going to manifest something at that
Amen.
Time.
Amen.
You're going to be quickened to manifest something.
Amen.
Because it's the same rain.
Amen.
It's not just going to be us that have the glory coming. It's going to fall everywhere.
Amen.
And it's going to quicken whatever seed they've got to the harvest as well.
Amen.
That's what he shows us here. He says, then the kind of seed you have planted in your field will be the kind of crop that you reap.
Right.
If the denominations want more members, that's what they're going to get.
Amen.
So as we get closer to the end, friends, and the glory gets deeper and deeper, those denominations are going to start filling up.
Amen.
Because it's the rain falling on the field.
Amen.
He says, the Pentecostals want more Pentecostals.
Uh-huh.
That's what they're going to get.
Amen.
But the word,
Amen.
is going to produce the sons and daughters of God.
Amen.
Because every seed produces a
Amen.
The word produces the sons and daughters of God.
Amen.
Every that's right.
Amen.
That's coming too. Look at that great latter rain that was supposed to be done. How they would run over the wall. How there'd be an army coming. He says, you just wait a minute.
Amen.
The kind of crop you'll get is the kind of seed you
Amen.
Get.
Amen.
Friends, this message, I find it so interesting. It helps you to understand so many things in the way that you know. Then he gets on to page 3, on page 45. It says, Mure, the rain, former rain. The planting rain has went forth. Now what happened? Then the latter rain will fall. He says, look in Abraham. What happened? Sodom and its Sodomites burnt. Hey, Abraham received the promise. Now you think of what was in Sodom. Now friends, you'll understand why. What's happening in the world
Amen.
Is happening.
Amen.
Because as the Lord is quickening, as we're getting deeper and deeper in the latter rain,
yes.
They're starting to manifest the fullness of what they are.
Amen.
They've been quickened in the iniquity, quickened in all these kind of things. If you want to know why Obama's doing what he's doing, he's been quickened
Amen.
By the latter rain. If you want to know why Putin is doing what he's doing, he's been quickened
Amen.
By the latter rain.
Amen.
If you want to know why we're doing what
Amen.
We're doing, we've been quickened
Amen.
By the latter rain.
Amen.
Just depends on the seed that's in the field.
That's right.
When that latter rain came to Abraham, it changed them to receive the promise. But that same visitation, when it went to Sodom, it forced God to be to right to the pinnacle of iniquity.
Amen.
They came wanting to sleep with those angels.
Amen.
Something that had never happened before.
Mm.
So you'll understand when we speak about a quickening in this day.
Amen.
There's a quickening everywhere.
Yes.
There's a quickening in the political realm.
Amen.
Quickening.
Amen.
Why? It's quickening towards the harvest time.
Amen.
Right?
Amen.
And it's going to show us there's two harvests.
Amen.
There's always two harvests.
Amen.
There's going to be this harvesting of the Son of Man with a sickle
Amen.
In his hand. Then there's going to be the harvesting of the grapes of the earth in the winepress of the wrath of God.
Amen.
Our friends, everything's been quickened to a harvest
Amen.
Now.
Amen.
Now you will understand why things are happening in the political world the way that they are. You understand it. The people can't help themselves.
Amen.
It's a quickening time.
Amen.
It's an anointing that comes upon the people. Let me show you this. If you go back a little bit, let's look at the masterpiece himself when he came, Jesus. Then we're looking in the day now, the masterpiece bride is coming forth. So there should be the same process. For the masterpiece to
yes,
have come forth,
yes, yes.
and for the masterpiece
yeah.
bride to come forth, we should be able to find that exactly the same way God deals with it. Let's go and open the book of Luke and see that. Luke chapter 1, the coming forth of the masterpiece. In order for the masterpiece himself, the Word made flesh, Jesus, to come forth, there had to be a former rain.
Amen.
There had to be a seed time. You know, things had gone 400 years from the time of Malachi, and nothing had been taking place. But all of a sudden, we see angels ascending and descending to the people. We see heaven coming down to the people. In Luke chapter 1, verse 11. And there appeared an angel of the Lord, standing on the right side of the altar of incense. This is to Zechariah. And it came to pass that as soon as the days of his ministration were accomplished, verse 23, sorry, he departed to his own house. So we know the story. So the angel comes down. He's doing the service, Zechariah, in the temple. And God opens up a certain anointing. And an anointing comes down, an angel, straight from the presence of God, comes down. And this man, Zechariah, stands in the presence of the supernatural. How many times do you find in the Bible that when there was conception, there was first a visitation of an angel?
Amen.
So many times.
Mm-hmm.
Go and have a look.
That's right.
There was something supernatural took place. There was a certain visitation that
Amen.
God gave. Otherwise, there could be no conception.
Amen.
It's the same. It's the seed time.
Amen.
At the seed time, the rain has to come down.
Amen.
The anointing, the atmosphere comes down to bring the seed to germination.
Amen.
So Zechariah is barren. Elizabeth cannot bring forth children.
Amen.
They're faithful. So God has to bring something
Amen.
Down.
Amen.
The supernatural visits them in due season. Then in verse 24, it says, and after those days, his wife Elizabeth
Amen.
Conceived.
Mm-hmm.
The former rain. The seed time. It hasn't finished yet. Because this is going to be the bringing forth Elijah.
Mm-hmm.
But what about the bringing forth of the Son of Man himself? Uh-huh. It continues on in the same chapter, verse 30. And the angel said unto Mary, said unto her, fear not, Mary,
Amen.
For thou hast found favor with God. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb. It's seed time.
Amen.
It's the time, if the atmosphere is right,
Amen.
You're going to conceive.
Amen. That's right.
If you are to fulfill prophecy at that time, if you are predestined to produce the prophetic word in that age, you're going to conceive at that
Amen.
Time.
That's right.
They never manufactured it. They were just righteous people, but it was his juicy.
Amen.
It was time for his
Amen.
Former age, so that the seed could come forth. The seed could conceive. And then Mary, not understanding, verse 34, she said, how shall this be, seeing I know not a man? And the angel answered and said, the Holy Ghost shall
Amen.
Come. That's the former rain, friends.
Amen.
To start to experience the Holy Ghost
Amen.
Has to come
yes.
upon you.
Amen.
Otherwise, you will never conceive.
Amen.
You will never get in a state that you will start to develop Christ
Amen.
In your experience. And if you don't have the former rain, the Holy Ghost coming to conceive, you're never going to have the latter and the full manifestation in your experience. How can you have one without the other? You've got to have the one to set you in the process for the other. It's going to be like that. How shall this be? The Holy Ghost shall come upon you. And the power of the highest shall overshadow you. Ah, friends. When the power of the highest overshadows you, get yourself in the word. And let that word conceive in you the way that it conceived in Mary. When the Lord is near, get in prayer, get
Amen.
In His word.
Amen.
Let the seed conceive, let the atmosphere
Amen.
Be right.
Amen.
Take advantage of the seasons and the times. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born, which shall be born.
Yes,
Amen.
Yes, yes.
Amen.
He will be born.
Amen.
But there's first got to be a seed time
Amen.
Before you can bring forth the word down the way. Seed time and harvest. And he shall be called the Son of God.
Amen.
So once Jesus is born, we now go through a long period, 30 years. It's quiet.
Mm.
We don't hear anything taking place.
Mm-hmm.
Yet at that beginning, you read Luke 1 and 2. I don't want to get into it. But you see the spirit of prophecy upon the people. You see Mary prophesying, Elizabeth prophesying, Zechariah prophesying. There was a great, this is all full of the Holy Ghost. The anointing came upon them. There was a great move of God, supernatural, in the seed time. Then that seems to lift and things just go on for 30 years. You don't find very much taking place in the Bible. Until now it comes, the time coming for the matter.
Amen.
For the full purpose for this seed that was sown at the beginning, it's time for the seed to bring forth the fruits now. It's time for John to come and show who he really is. It's time for Jesus to come and fulfill the ministry that he's been ordained unto. So you had our seed time, and now we're going to have a harvest time.
Amen.
When we looked at it on Wednesday, Jesus comes to be baptized.
Amen.
The heaven was open, the Holy Ghost comes upon the seed.
Amen.
My, and something starts taking place. John the Baptist comes on the scene, anointed with the Spirit of Elijah. But between these two events, look in verse 18 of Luke chapter 1. I think it's in Luke 1:80. It says, and the child grew and waxed strong in spirit and was in the deserts till the day of his showing unto Israel. So between the form and the latter, and you're supposed to be growing.
Amen.
You're not supposed to be standing still.
Amen.
Because the child grew and waxed strong in spirit and was in the desert. God was preparing him for the latter rain. Doesn't mean John wasn't making progress. And what about Jesus? Luke 2 verse 52. What does it say about him during this time?
Yeah.
Luke 2 52. It says, and Jesus increased in wisdom.
Amen.
Amen.
And in stature. And in favor with God
Amen.
And with our friends.
Amen.
Are you increasing in wisdom? Are you increasing in stature? Are you increasing in favor before God and man?
Amen.
You're on your way to a latter rain, friends.
Amen.
If you had a seed time and there's a progress in your experience,
Amen.
Don't worry. He who began the good work,
Amen.
He's going to be faithful to complete it.
Because
this is the process that he takes people through.
Amen.
So it was just showers coming now. It's not the great copious rains, the abundance of rain of the former rain. It's not yet the abundance of rain of the latter, but it doesn't mean nothing's taking place. That's when they said to the prophet, will the bride have a ministry? He said, that's what's going on now.
Yes.
It's the fivefold ministry. Amen. It's showers of blessings, showers of blessings, sowing the seed.
Amen.
The former rain and the latter rain falling together, he said, sowing the seed, quickening the seed. You manifest in your own experience whatever God has called you to be.
Amen.
Because we're speaking about the church age here. Doesn't mean you can't have your form and latter rain. Yes, we're waiting for the fullness of the latter rain for the age. Yeah?
Amen.
But that doesn't mean that you can't have your adoption.
Amen.
Doesn't mean you can't manifest who you are as
Amen.
A son of God. No, because the way God deals with you as individuals, the way he deals with the age. But he deals with you according to the purpose that he has for you. So it goes on like that. And then finally, John enters into his ministry. Jesus enters into his ministry. And it comes right down near the end now.
Amen. Amen.
Right down
Amen.
To the time that Jesus is to fulfill all that is written of him.
Mm-hmm.
Now the prophet says about it, because people, we sometimes say that there's still this and that to be fulfilled according to the message. And people want to put it well in the future. In the message entombment, the prophet says, 1957, notice Jesus in the last hour or two of his life, how many, many prophecies were fulfilled.
Amen.
Someone said the other day, Brother Branham, this has to happen and that has to happen. I said, it could happen in an hour.
Amen.
Amen.
When the latter end starts like it is now, friends, things are getting quickened and
quickened
and prophecy, prophecy, and you and I are struggling to keep up with all that's going on.
Uh-huh.
We see Gog and Magog. We see the foolish virgin. We see the World Council of Churches. We see the Pope in America.
Yes,
we see,
yes.
There's so many things we hardly have time to keep up.
Yes.
It's a final quickening to somewhere, friends.
Amen.
And if you're anywhere near God, you'll feel it in your soul.
Amen.
That there's a quickening taking place. There's something happening in the experience of his people. It's a quickening time. The prophet says it could happen in an hour. Listen, if you've read the 22nd Psalm, he's dying at the cross. I just forget how many outstanding prophecies was fulfilled in the last 2 or 3 hours in his life. I went and find it out. There were 33 prophecies fulfilled on his last day.
Amen.
Now we could have come and preached a whole series of things that are to be. 33 things. Saints, it's still going to be a while before the latter rain finishes. There's 33 different events need to take place that were fulfilled in a day.
Amen.
In a day.
Amen.
Once it was the appointed season, they were fulfilled in a day.
Amen.
Everything was just quickened in that season. And the prophet speaks about it. Now, just to show you that when the latter rain comes, it's not just on the believers, it's on the unbelievers as well.
Amen.
Look in John 11. Look at Caiaphas, the high priest. When it's time now for Jesus coming near to the fulfillment of his ministry, of his calling. It's not only Jesus that gets quickened to hasten his pace towards Jerusalem. It's not only Jesus that is quickened to be telling his disciples, the Son of Man is going to Jerusalem. He's going to be delivered up into the hands of the Gentiles. It's everybody, even the foolish virgins getting quickened as well. Caiaphas, John 11, 49. And one of them named Caiaphas, being the high priest, the Savior, said unto them, you know nothing at all. They're all speaking about, what are we going to do about this Jesus?
Uh-huh.
And the man just gets quickened. He doesn't know why he's saying it.
Uh-huh.
And he says, you don't know anything at all. Nor consider that it's expedient for us that one man should die for the people, that the whole nation perish not.
Uh-huh.
And this he spoke not of himself, but being high priest that day, he prophesied.
Uh-huh.
Our friends. Obama doesn't speak of himself many times.
Yes, yes, yes.
Amen.
Putin doesn't know why he's doing the things that he does.
Amen.
They're quickened.
Amen.
Because the season for the fulfillment of these things.
Yes,
so
yes.
When the word was being quickened to fulfill the mystery of redemption, Jesus, the rest of the people are being quickened as well to fulfill their portion.
Mm.
Everybody's going to get quickened, friends. And we see it. That's why we're living where we are. And somebody once said, everything said or done that time had weight and meaning.
Mm-hmm.
More than the people themselves realized.
Mm-hmm. Right.
It's even the soldier of the cross, the Roman.
Amen.
He didn't even realize. Surely this was the Son of God.
Amen.
Everybody, friends, at that time got quickened to do something.
Amen.
That's right. Pilate, what did Pilate say? Pilate, he brings Jesus out and says, behold your king. Did he say that of himself?
No.
They're only supposed to have one king, and that's Caesar.
That's right.
Pilate wasn't joking. He just got quickened In that season, as the darkness was coming in, as the uniting time was coming in, as the denominations were coming together and uniting with Rome.
Yes, yes.
Same as now, it's a time of maturation. They're getting quickened the same way that we're getting quickened. And Pilate's speaking things that he doesn't even know. Behold your king. Wait. What about Matthew 27, verse 24? When Pilate saw that he could prevail nothing, but that rather tumult was made, he took water, washed his hands before the multitude, says, I'm innocent of the blood of this just person.
Amen.
Then answered all the people and said, his blood be on us and on our children. Yay! Friends, you want to make sure you got the right seed in that kind of a time.
Amen.
Something was quickened in the people to bring about the rejection of the Son of Man. Then finally Pilate, what does he do? He takes a sign himself and says, and Pilate wrote a title and put it on the cross. And the writing was, Jesus of Nazareth, the King of the Jews.
Amen.
The title, this title read many of the Jews, for the place where Jesus was crucified is near to the city. Then said the chief priests to Pilate, write not the King of the Jews, but that he said, I'm King of the Jews.
Amen.
Pilate answered, what I've written, I've written.
Amen.
This man was such a weak guy, couldn't make decisions. His wife is telling him what to do and all those different things. Have nothing to do with this just man. But something quickens the man. Because it's the time of the fulfillment of all things, the masterpiece himself. That's why you'll see what's taking place out there, friends. You and I will scratch our heads. We won't understand what these churches are doing.
Mm-hmm.
We won't understand what these governments are doing.
Mm-hmm.
But friends, it's not them themselves.
Yes.
It's this. That's why the prophet says, in recognizing your day that's missing, why do they do that? You speak of the brother of Jack Moore and the herald of his coming, and the orders were crying, it's not too late, let's fast and pray for revival. Why do they do that? They want a great awakening. They're crying, believing there'll be an awakening, because they're good people. What have they done? They've not recognized the awakening of the bride. But being Christians, they feel the pull of the hour. But they haven't recognized what's being done. That's what makes them feel the way that they are. So we'll see it as we come to the end of the latter rain, yeah? And we will be moving right into a channel of immortality, yeah? Breaking into that realm of immortality. The foolish virgin are going to be seeking for the anointing. The foolish virgin, when the wise virgin's going right into the wedding supper, those ones also, they get quickened as well to go, let's go and buy the oil. We also need this. Something quickens them as well. Wakens them up, and they start now seeking for the gifts and so forth. But let's look at one more person. Luke 22, verse 1. Let's look at one who was numbered amongst the disciples.
Whoa.
During the time of the latter rain. That's why you understand why these defectors and these rejectors and all of them, this one's writing against the prophet and so forth. Why are they doing what they do? They were quickened unto it.
Amen.
All these years they were silent about these things. But why now? Why are people quickened to fight against the message? Quickened to make websites against the message and so forth. Exactly their type, Judas.
Amen.
That's exactly what happened.
Yeah.
Amen.
Luke 22 verse 1. Now look at the time of it. Now the feast of an unleavened bread drew nigh, which is called the Passover. So Jesus has to die at the Passover. That's the season. This is the only time where the prophecy can be fulfilled. It's Passover time. And just as much as Jesus has been quickened because he knows this is his last Passover, just as much as Jesus is preparing himself and he's feeling it in his soul, he says, now is my soul troubled nigh unto death, and because he knows that this is the final quickening in his experience to the fulfillment of prophecy, so too does Judas. Judas never betrays him before. But suddenly, verse 2, and the chief priests and scribes sought how they may kill him, for they feared the people. Then entered Satan into Judas the Iscariot, being the number of the 12. Just in that season.
Amen.
Ah, friends. Nothing happens out of place.
Amen.
The more people we see falling away from the message, the more proof it is, the latter rain.
Amen.
It's going to be like that. Verse 4, and he went his way and communed with the chief priests and captains how he may betray him unto them. Verse 7, Then came the day of unleavened bread when the Passover was to be killed. Imagine, exactly in the season when Jesus had to fulfill that in crucifixion, exactly in that season, Judas gives himself over to the temple. Why? Because he wasn't sin.
Amen.
He wasn't sin. Jesus says, none of them have I lost Father except for the son of perdition. Judas went to his place. It was a season for him to go to his place. So they come to the Last Supper. Now imagine being at the Last Supper. Can you imagine an atmosphere like that at the Last Supper?
Amen.
With so much prophecy being fulfilled, with Jesus right on the edge, it's the hour of darkness that's right coming to the climax of his ministry and his calling on the cross. That's the atmosphere of the Last Supper. And he says in John 13, verse 2, and supper being ended, the devil having now put into the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray him. So the sin was in Judas. Verse 18, Jesus says, I speak not of you all. I know whom I've chosen. But that the scripture may be fulfilled. He that eateth bread with me hath lifted up his heel against me. He's quoting from Psalm. So Judas has to fulfill scripture as well. So something has to come and quicken Judas to fulfill the scripture. Someone has to betray him. A familiar friend has to betray him.
Amen.
The one who was his close confidant, we used to go up to the temple of God together and so forth, all the prophecies. He has a man that has to fulfill scripture.
Amen.
But he hasn't fulfilled it for 3 years. Why? Because it's waiting for the quickening time.
Yes. Amen.
Waiting for the harvest time now, when the latter rain starts pouring forth to bring the fulfillment of all things. Everybody manifests their part, friends. It depends on what seed is in the field.
Amen.
That's what you're going to manifest at that kind of a time. Amen. And so Jesus said, one of you is going to betray me. And then they said, but who is it, Lord? Verse 25. He that lying on Jesus' breast said unto him, Lord, who is it? Jesus answered, he it is to whom I shall give a sop. When I've dipped it. And when he had dipped the sop, he gave it to Judas Iscariot, the son of Simon. And after the sop, Satan entered into him. Then said Jesus unto him, look, the word is going to speak to him. That thou doest, do quickly.
Amen.
The same word that quickens you and I to a body change quickens other people to exactly the opposite. The same visitation, same atmosphere that was quickening the disciples to get to the upper room and the end of it all is the same anointing with the same word that spoke and said, you go do what you're supposed to do. And it quickened Jesus to do it. Ah, friends, the Bible says the ways of a man are not within himself.
Yes. Amen.
The ways of a man are not within himself.
Amen.
Luke 23, verse 12. Let's look at one more quickening at that time. This is all happening in the same season. Just scripture being fulfilled. Scripture being fulfilled. Luke 23, verse 12. And the same day, Pilate and Herod remained friends again. For there is enmity between themselves. A uniting time.
Yes.
Rome. The Protestant churches have been at enmity all this time. But the same day that his bride has been quickened to a rapture, the foolish virgin has been quickened to join the throne. It's the same thing. It's just the season and the time that these things have to be. Just the season. That's why it's the seed that's in you. Ah, friends, it's the seed. He can lose none of his seed. Lose none of his seed. But you can't do it just with the seed. It's going to take the rain. And this is when the latter rain was coming. The latter rain for Jesus now. And all the scripture was being fulfilled. And he was quickened to go and hang on the cross between the heavens and the earth to die for us. And there was an earthquake took place. And the graves were opened. And there was a resurrection of the Old Testament saints. Friends, it was an hour of darkness. But it was a time now that the latter rain was coming for. It was a quickening power. Now listen, as we finish it up, listen what the prophet continues on now in this message. He says, to show you at the end time. He says, the parable of the wise virgin and the unwise virgin is with us.
Amen. Amen.
The wise virgin and the foolish virgin. Amen. Both of them, friends, went to seek oil.
Amen.
Both of them, something quickened them, said, we need oil.
Amen.
You know, the master's come, the bridegroom's coming. Both of them. He says, brethren, don't you know what it is? It's a sign.
Amen.
When the wise virgin wants oil, or the unwise virgin rather, he says, wants oil, when she's buying it, that's the time the bridegroom comes.
Amen.
So friends, when the latter end comes in its fullness, what's going to happen? They're going to be seeking the gifts. They're going to be seeking the Holy Ghost. They're going to be seeking things. Because the anointing comes down. And they're going to be praying and saying, we're having a great revival. T.D. Jakes is going to be saying, our church has never been so full as it is. Oh, people are seeking God in our church. And Joel Osteen is going to be saying, people are praying. What is it? It's the latter rain, friends.
Amen.
But what is it going to manifest? It's going to bring a uniting
heart. Amen.
It's going to take them back to Rome. They're going to join up to the World Council of Churches. That's what it's going to do. And the prophet says, when they go to seek the oil, he says, it's the time for the wise virgin to go in.
Amen.
And that kind of a time, he says, oh, you Pentecostals, what's the matter? Well, you can't see it unless God shows you.
Amen.
You can't see it. Then he finishes off about the latter rain and he says, what? They're trying to manufacture a latter rain. He says, nonsense.
Amen.
He says, the latter rain will sweep the world, brother.
Amen.
There's been a former rain, a sowing rain, that's right. Now, you will see what the latter rain produces.
Amen.
You will find out. He says, there will be an affiliation. Same as at the end of Jesus' ministry.
Amen.
They came in, the Sadducees, the Pharisees, they came together with Pilate came together with Herod. They came a uniting time. He says, there will be an affiliation. The Pentecostals and all the groups will come together.
Amen.
What cause? Is the latter rain.
Right.
And they'll shut the doors on them guys that won't listen to it. That's us guys that won't listen to it. You won't even be allowed to open your mouth. That's when he'll come.
Amen.
That's when he'll show.
Amen.
That's when you will see a rain. He says, they still just be quiet. Yeah, like I'm saying, it doesn't mean it can't happen in your experience as an individual. It must be happening.
Amen.
We must be coming to adoption. Amen. There must be more and more God's manifestation. But he's speaking of the age, the former rain, and then there's coming a latter rain. Then he says, speaking about the early church, he continues on and he says, sorry, it's in Speak to This Mountain. He says, I believe that the church of the living God is moving into a sphere now. It's going to shake the whole.
Amen.
Friends, can you not feel it?
Amen.
Can you not feel that the latter rain is something that's quickening the people? There's something that's quickening, and the world is being
quickened.
And the world is moving into a sphere that's going to bring the burning of Solomon.
Amen.
And Abraham's been moved into a sphere that he's going to bring forth the promise of. And it was the same visitation, those three angels coming down, that started the process.
Amen.
Same process. The prophet is looking that day. What was the former rain? Here came the Son of Man. Sarah needed to
see.
Amen.
So the ministry of the Son of Man came down. And then he says, shall I hide from Abraham the things that I do? And the Son of Man now breaks forth those mysteries. The mysteries to Abraham and Sarah. And she conceived.
Amen.
And then there came a time now for her to bring forth the promised son. And as soon as the promised son came on the scene, or that season, somebody was quickened as well. The promise is, he says, the church of the living God's moving into a sphere. The first time it's been since the days of Jesus Christ. Of a human being, ask anything
Amen.
You will, and it will be given to you anything you desire. Don't you see the words of Jesus Christ
Amen.
Being fulfilled? Oh, it's going to come to pass pretty soon.
Amen.
I'm looking for it to happen in this meeting.
Amen.
I'm wanting it to happen now.
Amen.
Amen.
That anointing will strike the whole church of
Amen.
The living God.
Yes,
and she'll rise to
Amen.
Her feet like a mighty marching
Amen.
Army.
Amen.
The sick will be healed by her word. The blind will see.
Amen.
The deaf will hear.
Amen.
The dead will be raised
Amen.
Up. And the power of God will shake the world
Amen.
In the church of the living God.
Amen.
We're in the process of
Amen.
Faith.
Amen.
We're in the former rain. We're the latter rain. We're in the process
Amen.
Of the
Lord.
Nothing's going to stop this process.
Amen.
Nothing's going to stop this process.
Amen.
There's a seed time and there's a harvest time.
Amen.
Let's just pray for rain.
Amen.
In the season of the latter rain. That's what you need to do. We're in the process of it now. I believe it's soon coming to pass. I believe it'll be just exactly that way. I believe it's going to strike the church of God soon. And it's going to start a revival that'll shake the world. He says, I believe it. And I'm sure you believe it as well. I believe it as well. I just read another couple of quotes here, what the prophet says about it. Give me a second. He says, we're living right in the season and the time of it now. But he always gives that indication. He says, when you see what's happening in Sodom, when you see how they think, he says, watch what's happening. And always works together in the former and the latter. He says, so I'm just trying to find one quote, and he says, yes, he says, I believe it's near to harvest time. Remember, there's a planting time, then there's a harvest time. People are saying the latter rain. He says, no, it can't be. He says, the seed, we read this one, the seed must have the seed water before it can grow. It must have water to fall before the seed that's planted can grow. Now wait, what did we have in the planting time, the former rain? He says, watch what the latter rain will produce. Just watch it brings. And if you look in your experience, you say, but me as an individual, what should I be looking to? Have you had a former rain? Have you had a former rain in your experience? Have you been going through a process of growth? And many times a process of growth includes a process of pruning the vine. Many times it comes to those kind of things. But he prunes off the dead branches so that the branches may bring forth more excellent fruit. There's got to be a time, a process of growth. And then when it comes, his due season once again. When he looks down and he sees that corn in the ear, it's just about ready, but it's green. It needs to come to being golden brown. He starts pouring out his latter rain. Pours out the latter rain, and it now brings the maturity of the crop. And the crop that was green before becomes golden brown. And it fills that ear the way that the Lord of the harvest wanted it to be filled. And then he says to his reapers, thrust it. And he reaps the harvest of his land. And in the world now, it's vintage. Let's just finish with that one there in Revelations again, chapter 14, I think it is. Just to show those two harvests that friends we're living. He says it in that message. He says we're living in the season of these two harvests. Verse 14, Revelations 14:14. And I looked and I beheld a white cloud. And upon the cloud one sat like unto the Son of Man, having on his head a golden crown, and in his hand a sharp sickle. You know, the prophet actually says, God is looking in the harvest time for a sharp cutting instrument. He had to have someone in his hand, because God works through men. Someone that could bring about a harvest. Something that could bring it. And another angel came out of the temple, crying with a loud voice to him that sat on the cloud, thrust in thy sickle and reap. For the time is come for thee to reap, for the harvest of the earth is ripe. Amen. And he that sat on the cloud thrust in his sickle on the earth, and the earth was reaped. And another angel came out of the temple which is in heaven, he also having a sharp sickle. And another angel came out from the altar which had power over fire, for the burning of Sodom. There had to be a burning of Sodom. And cried with a loud cry to him that had the sharp sickle, saying, thrust in thy sharp sickle and gather the clusters of the vine of the earth, for her grapes are fully ripe. Hollywood's bringing it to perfection. The video games industry is bringing it to perfection. The press, the media, the television, it's bringing that harvest to the vintage, quickening it. And the angel thrust in his sickle into the earth and gathered the vine of the earth. And cast it into the great winepress of the wrath of God. And the winepress was trodden without the city. And the blood came out of the winepress, even unto the horses' bridles, by the space of 1,600. So that's the time of Armageddon. But there's the destruction of all things. Friends of all the peoples in the earth, we should be the people that praise Him. We should be the people that appreciate Him for His grace and mercy. If you don't appreciate Him for His grace, you need to get in the spirit. You need to get under that same enveloping atmosphere that came upon Mary, and you need to start getting in the Word so that it conceives in you. And then you will start to see how late the hour is. But how glorious the time is, friends. It's a glorious time. He's made wonderful promises to you and us individuals. And is looking to you and I to develop and progress and come to the harvest time and bring forth the right fruit as individuals. But as a church, we're right in the days of the latter rain. And things are quickening right to the end, to the harvest. Let's stand. Let's sing that song again. Nations are breaking, friends. Israel's awakening. It's the signs the prophets foretold. The Gentile days are numbered. With horrors in common. Eternity soon. That's true. The day of redemption, it's here. Is there something in your experience that's hindering the light? Is it some carbon, some buildup of something that you would like to accumulate? And you're not shining the light the way that you used to. Things aren't burning the way that they used to in your experience. That's lamp trimming time.
Amen.
It's time to trim that lamp.
Amen.
It's time to replenish the oil once again. Let's sing that song, "Give me oil in my lamp once again." Keep it, but let's come to a time of prayer.
Amen.
If you're not what you used to be, and you want to say to the Lord, "Lord, I want to make progress once again in my experience," speak to Him. Say, "Lord, deal faithfully with my soul. What has come between you and me? Why is there no more progress? Why is there no more growth in my life?" And He who is faithful will deal faithfully with you. And He'll come and show you what you need to deal with to move on once again in your experience.
Give me oil in my lamp. Give me oil in my lamp. I pray. Give me oil in my lamp. Keep me burning till the break of day.
Seed, it's going to be water. Yeah, and that includes water baptism. You know, if you've never been baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, if you've never yielded to His Spirit, His anointing, when it's been working with your soul, we know the Lord is urging you to commit yourself, to give yourself to Him. You'll never go any further until you're obedient unto that. And then once you've been obedient to water baptism, he'll now pour water upon the seed. The water of the Holy Ghost. And he'll start to quicken you. Because you might look and say, but how am I going to overcome these goats? And how will I overcome these fashions? And how will I overcome these things? The power is in the seed.
Amen.
The potential is in the seed. And all it needs is the quickening power in the seed. And that seed will start to press up. Friends, you can put that seed under a concrete block. And that seed, when the light is shining, it's going to find its way to that light.
Amen.
There's a power in the seed. There's a persistence in the seed. Because that seed wants to express itself. So if you'll just give that seed an opportunity by confessing your sins and repenting of your past, going to the waters of baptism, accepting him as your Lord, then laying that soul upon the altar and saying, Jesus, I give it all to you. I can't do it myself, but you can do it in and through me. The Bible says, as many as receive him, to them he gives power to become the sons and daughters of God. And that's where it starts, friends, and then he will lead you on until he gets from your life the full harvest. That's what he desires. That's our desire. Friends, let's come to a time of prayer. You pray for yourself, pray for our church. Let's pray for that aunt here, Brother George, Brother Mike, his family. Whatever the Lord lays upon your heart, let's seek rain. Let's pray for rain in the time of the latter rain. That the Lord may continue to quicken us and lead us on to full manifestation for his glory. In Jesus' name. Let's all pray.
Yes.
that. That's original life. It's so wonderful to fellowship and commune with His life. When His life comes into your life, it makes a change, friends. You'll no longer be among the chickens. You'll be flying in the heavens. You'll be looking down at those things by the grace of God. Because they that wait upon the Lord shall mount up on wings as an eagle. It's a wonderful promise. I just want to say thank you to Sister Diana for doing the curtains at the back. Really do appreciate it, Sister. Thank you for that. Wednesday night is questions and answers. Quite a number of questions came to me. So if you have any questions, please send them through. We've got quite a few for Wednesday night. I'd like to do some questions and answers, so please pray for that. Let's continue to worship before we ask Brother Dave, if you wouldn't mind to come to close with Brother Dave. If you've got something for us, Brother.
I am thinking of the rapture in that blessed moon and the day are coloring.
Oh,
Is so true, which is so real, Father. Father God, so much more even in this day that we live in, O God. And Heavenly Father, as we approach you humbly, Lord, once again, Father, we're so thankful, Father, for your grace and mercies which you show to us, O Lord. Heavenly Father, even speaking direct to our souls upon this day. Oh, Father God, that we could see the signs all around us, Lord. Father, we thank you, Lord. Father, for you said when the enemy comes in like a flood, you'll always raise a standard. Oh, Lord, you've raised your standard, Lord. Father, your word shines as a light before our feet, O God. Father, to guide and to see us through. Lord, that, Father God, where our hands will be hanging low. Father God, you promised in your word that you'd strengthen us, Lord. Heavenly Father, we receive your word even upon this day.
Amen.
Lord Jehovah, let it be sweet in our mouth, but bitter in the belly, Lord.
Amen.
Father, that it can achieve that which you desire for it,
yes,
Lord. Heavenly Father, we pray, Lord Jehovah, God, with thanksgiving. Lord, thankful for the seed which, Lord, you planted within us, O God.
Amen.
So, Heavenly Father, may our trams, our lamps be trimmed, O God.
Amen.
Heavenly Father, that even now, Lord Jehovah, Father, as you sending out your word, Father God, Lord, you're sending out even the latter rain. Father God, we'll be found in the hour, Lord Jehovah God, able to respond, O Lord Jehovah. Let us not be found wanting, O God. Lord, we're thankful, Lord, for your mercies and grace, Lord. Father God, where there's weakness, O Lord, how we pray unto thee, O Lord. Father God, Lord, that you'd restore, Father God. Father, Lord, for that's the promise of your word, Lord. Heavenly Father, whatsoever is needed, Lord, in our midst, we trust and believe, Father God, that you provide it to us. Heavenly Father, look mercifully upon your children, Lord. Father, even as we depart from now, each one having received, Lord, according to their need. Amen. Heavenly Father, let us not be forgetful here.
Amen.
But Father God, let us each one meditate, Father, for the hour is late.
Yes.
Lord, even as you showed us, Father God, that even in the time, Lord, of our Savior Christ Jesus.
Yes. Amen.
Lord, that within, Lord, Father, one day,
yes,
33, Lord, Jehovah God, prophecies fulfilled all at once. Yes. Oh, Lord, let us not put off for tomorrow what we can do today.
Amen.
But Lord, may we be in desperation, Lord.
Amen.
Father, every man, woman, every child, oh God, let none be left behind.
Amen.
Father, may your grace and mercies, Lord, which are available for us, Lord, give us that spirit, Lord, to, Father, grab onto it, oh Lord. For the grace is there, mercy is there, Father.
Yes.
Lord, please be merciful to us, is our blessing. Father, we ask that your spirit will accompany us now where we go in our homes, Lord. Accompany us as we travel, oh God. Father, even in the week which we meet, Lord. Father, we're thankful, oh God, that we know that we're speaking to the one who holds the week.
Yes.
And Father, we ask that all that we'll meet, all that we'll face, Lord. Father, let it be done in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Father God, knowing that you are worth us, oh Lord.
Yes.
Be merciful to us, Father. Lord Jehovah, we want to pray, Father, there was some that couldn't make it upon this night.
Amen.
Lord, but you knew that, oh God.
Yes.
And we trust, Lord, that you gave them, Lord, a sufficient portion upon this day, oh Lord.
Yes.
Father God, and we pray, Lord, that you give them grace, Lord.
Amen.
That next time when we meet, Father, they'd be in your house.
Amen.
Please undertake for us now, Lord, as we give thanks to you for all that was said, all that was done.
Amen.
We thank you for healing, Lord. We thank
Amen.
You for your
Amen.
We thank
Amen.
You for your provision,
Amen.
Lord, in every way,
Lord.
Father, may your name be exalted.
Amen.
May your name be glorified.
Amen.
As we ask all these things in Jesus Christ's name.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Let's finish up one more song and then we'll go to dedicate Brother James's car. The Lord bless him with a nice car. So we'll go and dedicate it. Let's sing that song. Come and dine, the Master said.
Amen.
You say, what am I going to eat? Eat the book.
Amen.
John, come and dine.
Amen.
Seven course meal.
Amen.
The Lord has given to us. Come and dine.